Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is. That's James. I'm Kyle. Good morning, everybody. A happy Wednesday to you. February 26th. The month of January took 9 years. February went by in 4 days.
Yeah, that's so weird. Like, I felt like this like, almost every day, like, you wake up, you look at the clock, it's like, you know, for me, it's like 7:15. Mm-hmm. And then I look again, it's like 8:05. And I'm like, wait, where did that 50 minutes just go?
Yeah, every minute is 45 seconds long in February. Unless you live on the East Coast, when apparently February is just the worst month ever in existence.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, this month has gone by really fast.
My headphone jack is so far under the table now.
Oh.
Because there was one right by the edge of the table. You aren't even going to be able to see it on the stream, so I'll just describe this for everybody. I have a table in front of me. And that's where your headphones typically plug in. And usually the headphone jack is right in the front. But it got fixed, I guess. And it is now so far under here. And I don't think I've really noticed, because typically I'm sitting differently today because our buddy Joe Brazil is in the building.
Yep.
Salute to Joe. So Joe is running the board, so I can sit in a different place where I can look more directly at you than having to sit kind of off to the side. And I've never noticed just how far underneath the table the damn headphone jack is now.
Oh.
And I'm trying to adjust the volume and I can't find it because it is so far under the table. Oh, we're back.
Just call engineering.
I'm going to. And say, can we move this up a little? I've got to reach 3 feet under the table to adjust my headphone volume. We're hanging out with you till noon. Appreciate everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch. Appreciate everybody listening on 1320 AM. Appreciate everybody on the free Odyssey app. And if you're a podcast listener, the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show, which if you're watching this right now, you should be subscribed. If you're listening right now, you should be subscribed. Or if you get your podcast, it's called the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show. It's this show, just in podcast form. And we couldn't call it the Insiders for legal reasons, I guess. Kings play tonight. And we'll have plenty on that coming up. But I saw something yesterday on the internet that really grinded my gears a lot.
Well, it must be true then.
Facts.
You saw it on the internet.
I saw it on the internet. It's true. Diana Rossini does a podcast for The Athletic called Scoop City. And for the most part, I think Diana Rossini does a good job. She had Chase Daniel on this episode of the podcast. An all-time ski mask Hall of Famer, Chase Daniel. And here's the discussion they had. And we'll go kind of through this piece by piece about the 49ers. This is the promoted clip from The Athletic.
I never ask you to do this. I want you to do this. Can you play GM? Can you be John Lynch for me? Where are you cutting?
Well, CMC is getting older. I'm not saying cut him. Can you redo his deal?
All right, we're going to stop there.
Oh, okay.
The Niners have more than like $45 million in salary cap room. They're not in a spot where they need to start cutting salary significantly. And this Brock Purdy contract that's coming in is not going to cost them a lot of money, very likely, this year.
Hmm.
And if it does, they've budgeted for that on purpose.
Okay.
They're not in some cap hell like, oh my God, what are they going to do? They might get there eventually.
Yeah.
Over the next 2-3 seasons. But they're not there right now. I don't know what they're saying where it's like, you got to cut something. What are you going to do? So Chase Daniel, putting his GM hat on, says, well, I mean, Christian McCaffrey's getting older. Can you redo his deal? They just redid his deal.
It kind of feels like you put on like a flat bill hat, but sideways, like one of those hats.
Yeah, he's got the TI hat.
Yeah, like it's not quite like, hey, you're not wearing the GM hat right. You know, like bend the bill or
do
something.
Size. You
just do something. Wrong logo.
Just really bad. Okay. So Chase Daniel has no idea. That's fine. It's not his job to follow the 49ers. So why don't you just redo Christian McCaffrey's deal? Yeah, I guess.
Why do we ask him these questions? But go ahead.
I don't know.
Well, can you move some money? You got to get the $19.5 million off of Deebo Samuel's books, right? Like,
what? The 19, maybe, and this could be where I'm wrong. I don't think I am.
Okay.
But we're $19.5 million. I don't know where that number came from. It's like $30+ million that they're trying to figure out with Deebo Samuel. And you're going to have to eat that money, which is why I'm an advocate for, like, that's on your books.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut him and eat the $30 million dead cap hit this year, it's gone. And it's already, like, you're already accounting for that money because that's money he's going to make anyway. Or money he's going to count for against your cap anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where he's getting the 19 and a half, unless that's, like, the number. If you do a post-June 1, that's the number that they'd eat this year. And then because you spread out the $30+ million over the next
but
couple of years.
But there's no way to get that off your books. Like, it's on your books. It's over. It's
right.
Done.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not figuring out a way to... Now, he does have a bonus coming in March, on March 22nd, where his dead cap number becomes like $47 million, I think it is.
Oh. That's
so, yeah, you got to get that. You got to get that move done before then, but I don't know where he got the $19.5 million from. Anyways, moving on.
Okay.
So that you
look. They're gonna,
it's Diana Rossini time.
They're gonna try to trade him. They're gonna try, but I look. I don't know what they're gonna get for him. I don't see teams pounding on the door for Deebo right now.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so silly for a team to be like, "Yeah, here's a draft pick for this player you're gonna cut anyway, and then we also have to extend him."
Yeah, the only reason you do that is so you have like exclusive rights to him.
Right.
Right. And so you already have him locked up and then you can go and negotiate a deal
right.
and you beat the market to him. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's why you would. So there's a possibility that someone would give up a fourth or a fifth or a sixth round pick or, mm-hmm. you know, a fifth and a seventh or something. I don't know what it would be like what the slide scale
sure,
is,
sure,
but
sure.
But I think that there is a possibility that someone would just so they have like rights of first refusal.
Yeah, if there's a massive market for him. But he's coming off his worst season of his career.
Uh-huh.
He's going to turn 29. He's going into his age 29 season. He's on the last year of his deal. You're going to have to pay him. He's not a guy who I think his game is going to age particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he's going to get cut. So, yeah, I agree with Diana there.
There are some teams poking around now to see if the 49ers would be willing to deal Brandon Ayuk.
Okay, that's kind of interesting.
Okay.
He's coming off a major knee injury, so maybe teams are seeing if the Niners will just sell low.
We don't even know when he'll be back, though.
Correct.
Right?
Like, so there might be teams calling him in like, hey, would you take a six for him right now?
Oof.
But still, the subject here is they're operating under this idea that the 49ers have this cap crunch, that the 49ers are trying to cut money from their books. Why would you then trade Brandon Ayuk? It does not save you any money.
Nope.
At all. In fact, if I have this correct, I believe it would cost them more to trade him this year than to keep him.
Yeah, that's not good business, Kyle.
I don't know. So okay, but again, I'm not that's just a separate thing. It is interesting that teams are calling about Brandon Ayuk. I don't think unless some team is like, "Hey, do you want a second round pick for Brandon Ayuk?" then they'll probably do that.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know what he's going to look like post knee injury.
Well, then they need to make sure that, like, financially, that they're stable and like that you can't actually pull the trade off, mm-hmm. like financially. I mean, again, if you're going to trade him and it's going to cost you so much, then the answer is no.
Right.
Like, it would cost more than the second round pick because it's going to impact our books more than, you know, just paying the guy.
Yeah, and I'm also not under the impression that, at least for me, I don't think Brandon Ayuk stinks.
No,
I don't think he's bad at football now.
No,
Like, he got off to a rough start last year and then got hurt.
And there have been, at this point, like, thousands of ACL tears. And I know his was more extensive, and, like, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. The rehab process is big time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a player who worked his way into the league, who, you know, worked his way into being a high draft pick, who, you know, had to play at Sierra College and, you know, stepped down. Like, this isn't a you know, silver spoon kid who isn't going to do the work.
Let's continue moving forward.
Okay.
Let me just take off the GM hat.
Oh, this is gold. This is my favorite part of the whole thing. Chase Daniel's going to take off his GM hat and put on his quarterback hat. Here we go.
Does he know, though, when he takes off his GM hat, his hair is going to be messed up?
Look at how finely coiffed his hair is.
Let me just take off the GM hat and put on my quarterback hat. If I'm Brock Purdy and I even get a whiff of you trying to trade my number one receiver, I am not signing with you. I am going to pull the leverage card, and I'm going to play out another deal.
What? What are you talking about? If I even get a whiff that you're trying to trade my number one wide receiver, I'm not signing that deal. What are you talking about?
This is wild.
So, you're telling me Chase Daniel, career backup, is taking off his GM hat and putting on his career backup quarterback hat.
Started five games his entire career.
Started five games. And carved out a really nice career for himself, and now he's doing media stuff. Salute to Chase Daniel. This is insane.
Yes.
So, Brock Purdy, who's going to make between $50 and $60 million annually on this contract, is going to hear that the 49ers took some calls on Brandon Ayuk, and he's going to go, hey, you know what? Pass on that contract. Don't want it. I'm going to go risk my health in the final year of my rookie deal making $14 an hour, and then I'll go try and get a different deal elsewhere next year. Get out of here.
I mean,
that is insane.
If he put his GM hat back on, he would know that, like, can't they just franchise tag him? Can't they just, like, keep him around for a couple of years? Like, there is, like, what you're talking about, like, short-term versus long-term stability. You're talking about a kid who's had two elbow issues. Like, you're taking the money no matter what. And would you want to go and like, get better wide receivers and say, hey, don't trade Ayuk, and, hey, I'm going to need more? Sure, that's fine. But, like, those are conversations that you have after you're in the job.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not sitting there, like, making, like, oh, I'm not signing if you're going to trade Brandon Ayuk. If you're not going to, if you're going to trade the guy who literally has a trash knee and is going to take a while. I mean, we just talked about it, like, in the glowing part, but, like, you're not going to make those demands on your own, like, what life means to you on somebody else.
This is his first huge contract.
Yeah. Nope. No, I'll take the Brinks truck. Go ahead and back it up.
Yeah. Hey, and if you need to trade Brandon Ayuk, cool. Like, if that, I'm just gonna go count my money.
Yeah, I don't care if you drive on my lawn when you back up the Brinks truck. If you hit, like, the little statue out front, it's okay.
Fine.
I don't care.
I'll just
buy a new one. Just go ahead. You know, don't run over my dog or something. But outside of that, go ahead and, you know, back up the Brinks truck.
I do think if the 49ers want to be good again, I do think there's going to have to be some pretty dramatic changes here, especially over the next couple of years, if they want to extend whatever Super Bowl window they had.
Yeah.
But, man, I was because Diana Rossini, usually when she has something to say, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is because she talks to a lot of people in the league. And I was floored by how insane a lot of that was. Especially specifically the Chase Daniel aspect of it.
Yeah, he needs to just wear like a media beanie, not put on different hats. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, man.
Try not to lead you astray when we talk about contracts and numbers. And if we don't understand them, we can go get you somebody who will and have them actually answer the questions for you.
Sure.
What we're not going to do is like just spout crazy misinformation.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel's definitely going to be gone. Again, never say never. Deebo Samuel is 99.999% going to be gone. Brandon Ayuk is a massive question mark. And if the 49ers can get a first or second round pick for him, I don't think they can. But I think they probably would take that deal right now. They need to do whatever they can to stack as many pieces as they can, where you're getting cost-controlled talent over the next few years because your roster is still going to be pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that just... that. really, I know we're going to do a ton of basketball and we're going to do a ton of Kings today, but I saw that yesterday and was floored. So I wanted to bring it all to you guys. The NFL Combine continues. We'll talk about whatever news comes out of there. Watched a lot of basketball last night.
Okay.
I decided the Lakers are scary. They're flying around right now, dude. And maybe it's the post-Luka trade. He's finally rolling, and they're gonna be hot for a couple of weeks, and then and then things will calm down. But they are hauling ass defensively. They appear to be figuring out how to manage the Luka Doncic, LeBron James offense.
Okay.
And they've made it very, like, yesterday it was a lot of Luka, and maybe that was just because it was the Mavs, but or his first game against the Mavs. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what it's going to look like moving forward. And if the Lakers are going to play well defensively, they're going to be really, really tough. I'm back in on them.
I'm not fully in 100% just because they have built their house on sand. They got a bunch of injury prone players. They've got, they're banking a lot of what they're doing on a guy who's over 40 and in his 22nd season.
Mm-hmm.
And another guy who is totally out of shape and injured all the time, and Luka. But I think that there is a way in which, if they get healthy, they get a little bit of chemistry built here,
mm-hmm.
that they could be a problem in
and
the playoffs.
And if you get a pissed off Luka.
Yeah, pissed off Luka, but I think we understand pissed off Luka is one thing, but there's also hookah Luka.
I don't care.
There's also like all the other versions.
Okay, great. So Luka was drinking so much and smoking so much hookah that they think there's going to be a catastrophe in 5 years. That's what Sam Amick reported in The Athletic. Those are his words. He went to the finals last year still.
Yep.
And now he's on LeBron James's team.
It's very possible.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
That this is going to be like a spectacular marriage. I just need to see more.
Okay, that's fine. We'll talk plenty of more hoops coming up, including a look at another important Kings game tonight and the easiest game left on their schedule. Maybe. That's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil's rocking with us. We are the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're on ESPN.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out. Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Are we just collectively rooting for the Cavs in the playoffs?
I think so.
Assuming the Kings either don't make it or get eliminated early, are we just collectively all pulling for the Cavs except for Jesse Tapia?
I would think so. Like, I it's a good story,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're a team who's sort of built the right way, taken the necessary steps. They've, you know, been able to retain a star. You know, I do think that that's a team that I would root for.
Yeah, I think so. I think same. Because I don't, like, anyone out of the West, I'm assuming the conference final is going to be OKC and Denver.
Yeah.
Maybe Memphis.
If we're going to write it right now, I'd say we're going to see OKC and Denver versus Boston and Cleveland. But a lot can happen between now and then.
Yeah, Cleveland, they're in the East. They're not Boston.
They just keep winning, and they keep winning convincingly,
they're just fun.
Yeah, 48-10.
All right. We'll find out come playoff time, but the Cavs might become the official team of the Insiders.
They've won eight in a row right now.
Yeah, they're cooking, man.
And 12 of 13.
We've got a few months to go before we get there. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube's omnipresent. They sponsor the show. Joe Brazil behind the glass. Love getting to say that. Salute. Appreciate you helping out, Joe. Did the Kings get any help yesterday? That's going to be something we talk about a lot moving forward because of 25-ish games left. What other teams are doing is going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Kings need to win tonight, and we'll dive into their game against Utah. But what else is going on the NBA scoreboard is going to matter quite a bit for the Sacramento Kings, starting with the Phoenix Suns, who are one spot behind Sacramento right now. They lost in overtime to the Grizzlies last night, 151-48.
Yeah, that's a heck of a score. I mean, it was overtime, right?
Yes, it went to overtime.
Yep.
Lot of takeaways from this game. One, I keep coming back to, we were talking a couple weeks ago, last week, about if there was a team in the West that could make a Dallas type of run, just a team we're not really thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd circled Memphis. Last night didn't do anything to harm that notion. Memphis is just really tough, dude.
That's the thing. It's that they're tough. I don't even think that they're like, they're talented, but they're not like over the moon talented.
No, that's why. That's part of why they're scary. Like Desmond Bane, really good player, but has Desmond Bane ever been an all-star?
No.
Jalen Wells, rookie, but awesome young player.
Yep.
John Morant's really good, of course. Jaren Jackson, good player. Zach Edey, playing 20 minutes a night. But then it's like Santi Aldama, good player. Brandon Clark, good player. Luke Kennard, good player. Gigi Jackson, good player. Vince Williams, good. Like, just all these just rock-solid rotation guys, spearheaded by John Morant and Jaren Jackson, they just have a ton of ways they can put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah, they do.
And they're really good defensively.
They didn't even play our guy Jay Huff or John Conchar last night. Even Scottie Pippen Jr. has played really, really solid minutes for them. Mm-hmm. When they need him to. Yeah, this is it's a very, very interesting team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they have, again, they've kind of had such a huge detour in their build. Mm-hmm. So we don't really know what they're going to be in the playoffs because, you know, they literally spent last year just not winning at all.
Yeah.
But, like, who are they? And I think it's going to be, like, a really good question that has to be answered in the playoffs this season. But for right now, at least they're holding their own. They're interesting.
The box score for the Suns, Bradley Beal has 24 points, 11 assists, and 5 boards. Kevin Durant adds 26, 8, and 7. Devin Booker has 28, 3, and 10. Bol Bol, who's starting for the Phoenix Suns right now, has 23 and 8. And then you get 21 from Grayson Allen off the bench.
Five guys lost with 20.
And they lost.
I know.
Like that's about, and that's why you know, we keep coming back to the Suns, right? Because we keep going, hey, if the Kings can finish like 500, they'll probably get in to the play-in.
Yeah.
Can you get to just 41 is probably good?
41, 42, 43.
And the pushback is like, well, Phoenix has enough. But it's like Phoenix played about as good of a game as they can play last night, and they still lost.
Yes. It's not good.
It's tough, dude.
Yeah.
But the Kings will take it.
I can't believe they lost that game.
Me neither. Just the entire fourth quarter, I'm watching, it's like, okay, they've got this. Like, it's Devin Booker. Okay, Kevin Durant's checking in with like 8.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're going to put this game away. And then the Grizzlies just kept chipping away. Ja Morant getting to the free throw line. Jalen Wells making a shot. Jaren Jackson getting to the bucket. That's tough.
I like Jalen Wells. He's really he's a Sacramento kid, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
6'7", by the way.
Oh, yeah. Mm. His second round pick, right? I think he did fall to the second round. He's good. Look, Memphis
39th
somehow,
overall.
They're how are they number two in the Western Conference? It's just crazy.
Because they just have a bunch of dudes. They just have a bunch of guys who are really good and they fit together.
Yep.
Like they are the Kings top to bottom might have more talent than the Grizzlies do. That might not be true anymore. It's close.
Yeah.
But the Grizzlies pieces just fit together better.
Yeah, and even like when you watch Jake LaRavia play, mm-hmm. there's just a different speed that he plays at than everyone else.
Yep.
And it's something that he's learned over the last couple of years playing for Memphis. Like, this is how you play.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's very few teams in the league that make you play an entire 48.
Yep.
And it's the Taylor Jenkins way. And I think that they, as a franchise, as a group of players, they did lose their way for a full year.
Yeah.
For like, sure, they had injuries, they had suspensions, they had all that stuff, but they just lost their way. And here they are. And, you know, again, they're a team that traded Marcus Smart to get lower under the cap. Mm-hmm. They made moves mm-hmm. that everyone thought like, oh, that's a strange move for a team that's that high in the Western Conference to do. But here they are just plugging along, just winning games. And it's like, it doesn't matter.
The Suns now 2.5 games back of the number 10 seed.
Yeah.
Kings just keep pulling away. That's another reason tonight's game is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Kings in Utah taking on the Jazz, and we'll get to that one, of course. Talked a little bit about this one earlier. Lakers 107, Mavs 99. That helps the Kings because they are now tied with the Mavs in the loss column and only a game back. And I don't know if the Mavs are ever going to get right.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, we were thinking it might be the Warriors and Kings battling it out for 9-10.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like the Mavs are just in a death spiral as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I wouldn't be fully shocked to see the Mavs completely fall out and Phoenix move up and take over their spot.
Mm-hmm.
They both have really tough strength of schedules. You know, the Phoenix has the most difficult strength of schedule left in the NBA. They're just above the Kings in strength of schedule. The Kings and Phoenix are going to have, like, throughout the next couple of weeks, we'll keep talking about, but the most difficult strength of schedules. And, you know, like, so it doesn't look good for Phoenix. But also, like, Dallas is just, you know, they're sinking. The injuries have hit them, and mix that with trading your franchise player, and you're going to have some rough moments.
Yeah, man, that they get the Hornets next, the Mavs do. But then it's Bucks, Kings, at Bucks, Grizzlies, Suns, two at the Spurs, one at the Rockets. That game on March 3rd with the Kings is going to be a big one. That might be one where you can leap up and get out of 9 or 10.
Yep.
Depending on how the next couple of days shake out. Pelicans 109, Spurs 103. Again, the Kings just gaining separation from the Spurs. I don't... When Wemby went down, they were done.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when Wemby was in there, it was like, they could... This is the type of group that could rattle off, like, 10 of 12 and become a problem.
I think we're going to have a moment here. They have to decide what they're going to do with Fox, because Fox needs hand surgery.
Mm-hmm.
His left pinky is just completely demolished.
I can't believe they haven't had him take care of that yet.
Well, I mean, we're going to see. I think they wanted to make it at least look like they're going to fight for a playoff spot. But at this point, like, what are you doing?
I have no idea.
He's shooting 27.5% from three since he went to San Antonio. Another bad shooting night again last night. Another big turnover night. He had six turnovers. You know, these are things that we saw in Sacramento, the inconsistency with shooting and everything else. And a lot of it was because his hand is just completely messed up. So I would be surprised if we didn't see him at least consider shutting him down,
mm-hmm.
but we'll wait and see.
Yeah. They might have no plan of that, but it's like,
what are you doing?
Yeah. I don't know how much he's gaining or they're gaining by him being on the court right now. Yeah. 15 points, 9 assists, 6 steals, and 6 turnovers.
Yeah.
In the loss.
1-9 from 3.
Against the Pelicans. Oof.
Yeah, not a good look. I think that's twice in the last week they've lost to the Pelicans.
Man, that's rough. Golden State, they continued winning. They gained a half game on the Kings. They're a game and a half up on them. They blew out the Hornets 128-92. So the Hornets have now lost, if my math is right, they've lost their last 3 games by 131 points.
Oh,
because it's 95.
Yeah.
And then 36 last night. Yeah. 131 across 3 games.
That's crazy.
That's so bad.
Yeah. They didn't even play ball last night.
No.
Like LaMelo just didn't play.
Yeah, he sat. Mark Williams played.
Oh, okay.
And it was just, you could see, remember in their spirit really broke against the Kings with that little run at the end of the third quarter.
Yep.
Where they got it to 9 and then the Kings just immediately made it 16 and was like, all right, game over. That happened in the first quarter where they're battling. And then all of a sudden it was just 15 to 2 runs done. I feel so bad for those dudes. Kenny asked this yesterday, would you rather be the Kings or the Hornets right now? Because in relation to people saying the Kings should blow it up and just start from scratch, do whatever you can to get to square one. It's like, I don't ever want to be where the Hornets are. And I know sometimes you got to go there.
Uh-huh.
The Kings aren't there yet for me. In fact, they are a ways off from being where... The Hornets look miserable, man.
Okay, so...
Can you imagine having to get on the radio and talk about the Hornets right now?
No, it would be god-awful.
Ugh.
Like, there's nowhere to go with the conversation. I get that, especially when you have three players who are out for the season.
Yeah.
Brandon...
Miller.
Yeah.
Who might be your best player?
Yeah, Grant Williams and Trey Mann are all out for the season. When I'm watching... Like, when we have these discussions, I know Kenny wanted that question answered yesterday, but my answer is like, look, it doesn't matter what I want. That's not what they're going to do. Like, the Kings aren't going to blow it up. And I, at least sure. not that I see. They're just not going to take the necessary steps to go backwards so far.
But it's a hypothetical. To a fan that's saying they should do this.
Yeah. I get
like,
that.
Okay, what would that look like? And I would way rather the Kings try and tinker with what they have mm-hmm. and figure this out and stay competitive than, I mean, obviously, I don't want them to roll forward with this roster. They're going to have to do some different stuff. But I would so much rather try and tinker and find like the right pieces and maybe hit on a second round pick. Maybe it's Isaac Jones. Maybe it's Isaiah Crawford. Maybe it's, I don't know.
Maybe Devin Carter. It just becomes, a ball player.
Yep. That, like, and you just find that one thing that, okay, hey, all of a sudden this is a playoff team. I'd way rather try that than be where the Hornets are losing by 131 points in 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like to cover that stuff is just horrible. Like, I've covered really, really bad seasons in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the 17-win season. That was the 09 draft when they should have had the top pick with Blake Griffin. Mm-hmm. And they fell to number 4. 3 teams jumped them to move into the top 3 spots, and they ended up with the 4th pick. The next year, they were the second worst team. 3 teams jumped them again, and they jumped them and the worst place team. So they drafted 5th, where they got Cousins. So like, there's all of these points where being bad doesn't like it's really tough to be so bad that you're gonna guarantee like a top 4 pick. You can't. Like, there's always somebody who moves up, and you know, some drafts at the number 4 pick or number 3 pick can help you. Mm-hmm. Other drafts they can't. You know, like again, like the Keegan Murray draft is another. Like the Kings moved up to get to number 4 to get Keegan. Like that, sure, that's great. You moved up and all that mm-hmm. stuff, but you can't bank on being bad and getting the picks that you need. And to be that bad,
mm-hmm.
you have to be horrible. You have to be this bad. You have to be 14 win bad. And even still, the Kings play the Pelicans a couple of times. They're a 14 win team. Mm-hmm. This is a 14 win team. Washington's a 10 win team or 9 win team. Like, there are a bunch of teams that are just like, oh no, we don't want to be good at all.
The Raptors are 18-40 and are very likely not going to finish as one of the worst 4 teams in the league.
Nope. But you hope that.
Ooh, okay, 18. Did the Hornets get to 18 wins?
No. Oh, okay.
They're 14-43, no. So they got 25 games left.
Well, they might have to play the Wizards a couple more times, so maybe that's a possibility. But it just depends on who they play down the stretch.
Take a peek. Oh, they got Washington coming up March 1st. They've got New Orleans. They've got the Raptors.
Okay.
In Toronto, Atlanta.
So we're saying there's a chance. Atlanta is bad as well, but they, of course, got off to a late start, and they can't tank. Yeah. I mean, they can tank, but it doesn't matter if they tank because they don't have their pick.
They're the Bulls on their schedule. They finish with 2 games against Boston.
Oof.
The Hornets do.
I haven't even looked to see how bad the Bulls have been since their trades.
Probably not great. I haven't looked either.
Yeah, I'm guessing not great. Let's see, where are we at?
Since February 5th, they're 1-7. 6. 1-6 since February 5th.
Yeah, yeah. So bad.
And they're just getting smoked. It's been a little better since the All-Star
break. But then they just punked Philadelphia 142-110.
Yeah. Oof. Philly stinks too. Oof.
Yeah, there are a lot of bad teams in the NBA right now.
So many. And the Kings don't play any of them down the stretch.
Yeah.
That's not true. They play Utah tonight. They've got a few other quote-unquote easy games on the schedule, and we'll talk about those coming up in a few minutes as we start to dive into the Kings-Jazz game tonight. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's hanging out with us. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The 49ers announced some coaching staff changes yesterday. Clay Kubiak officially hired as the OC.
Oh.
It's big time for Clay.
Does it mean anything?
No.
Probably not.
Not for the 49ers. Like, it's just, it's not... He's not going to have play calling duties. This is a title change that comes with a raise and may put him on team's radar for head coaching positions. But Kyle Shanahan literally said his job's not going to change.
Okay.
So it's for our purposes, it's a title change.
Yep.
If their offense struggles, I'm not going to be like, this Clay Kubiak offense
stinks. It's all Clay Kubiak's
fault. Yeah, no. He's just, they're trying to pay him some more money. Brian Griese very quietly stepped away from football, it sounds like.
Okay.
They just announced yesterday, yeah, Mick Lombardi, former Raiders OC, is the quarterback's coach now. All right. Interested to see how that goes. That might actually matter. Brian Griese's been the only quarterback's coach Brock Purdy's had. So that'll be a little bit of an adjustment. I'm not going to go through all the coaching staff changes because most of them don't matter. John Lynch's kid, Jake, is a defensive quality control guy now.
Oh.
As the 49ers continue to not beat the nepotism allegations. And then Leonard Hankerson, just a name to watch, just a name to keep an eye on, started in 2021 as an offensive quality control coach, immediately got bumped up to wide receivers coach. He's, of course, an NFL wide receiver for a long time. He became the wide receivers coach in 2022, and then he was promoted to wide receivers and passing game coordinator yesterday.
Okay.
So just a name to keep an eye on as the 49ers start losing coaches here. It wouldn't shock me at all if over the next couple of years he's an OC or a head coach somewhere.
In all honesty, the one area that they've done a really nice job is developing wide receivers.
Yeah.
Whether it's Jennings, Ayuk, sure. You know.
Debo.
Yeah.
Not Ronnie Bell.
True that. Not Danny Gray.
No. Tough scene for our guys. Salute to Danny Gray, Super Bowl champion. But yeah, so nothing earth shattering yesterday. One of the things Kyle Shanahan has done a really good job of in his tenure is hiring coaches, though. They've had a lot of coaches leave, and they've maintained a really good coaching staff. So aside from a couple of missteps at defensive coordinator over the last couple of years, or specifically last year.
Special teams.
I guess. And a special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
They've done a nice job and hired a bunch of new coaches yesterday. So that's all I got on the Niners today.
Okay.
We got free agency coming up in a couple of weeks in the draft. We'll hit all that when the real stuff starts to happen. All right. Speaking of real stuff happening, the Kings, for real, play the Utah Jazz tonight in Utah. We'll dive into that game. It is an easy game from a record standpoint, but one of very few left on the schedule. We'll tell you why it's important next. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Joe Brazil's here as well. Joe, hit the button.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Kings Jazz tonight. I almost said Golden One Center. That's not the case. They're in Utah at the Utah Arena.
Is it Vivint?
Sure.
I think it is.
You can tell me anything about the city of Utah or the state of Utah, and I'll believe you.
I've told you, like, that is the worst flight to go in. Like, if you're going into major cities, like, Utah is it's really high in elevation. And the plane,
the Delta Center.
It has a super, super quick, like, descent. So you feel like you're like on a sled, like flying down a
hill.
That. It's a little sketch. It's
Hate
a little
that.
Sketch.
Hate that a lot. No, look, man, this is another, and I know that, I mean, this is going to be the theme of the year. Every game is going to be big for the Kings down the stretch, but the Jazz are 14-43. This is one of the five easiest games left on your schedule. And they're all NBA games. You got to play hard. I get it. And we'll have keys to victory and stuff. But they have Utah, a 14-win team. You also have Chicago, which is a, what are they at, 23 wins, I think?
They're 23, but since the trade deadline, they've lost six out of seven, right?
They're 23 and going the wrong direction. sounds like me. The Portland Trailblazers,
okay,
who've been playing better of late, but
you still have, well, they beat the Kings.
They're 25-33. You play them in a couple of weeks. Maybe they'll pull the plug by then. Who knows?
You have one more game against Charlotte, too.
You have one more game against Charlotte and one more game against Washington.
Okay.
Those are both later in the year. If you win those five games, Utah and then the four we just named, you need to go, and 45 wins is kind of the number we circled. You would need to go 11-9 in your other 20. You need to go two games over 500 in your other 20 games to get to the 45 win mark.
Okay.
Which is, again, not easy. Not saying I would put my life savings on it, but that's doable. That's not something insane where you got to go 15-5 during the hardest stretch of your schedule.
Yeah, I would say like 500 during that stretch, maybe even a game or two under 500 is more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you hope that they could get 5, 6, 7 games over 500 by the end of the season. But that's just, it's not simple.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we'll have to wait and see what this team looks like, how they respond. But these are games like tonight. I look at the game against Utah as more of a practice than anything else. Like the Kings need to look at these games as opportunities to get a rhythm, to build chemistry, to get the guys on the court that are going to be on the court, to not worry about who is out there for the other team because most of their guys aren't going to be out there,
mm-hmm.
and just play the game the right way, play with the same energy that you played with when you beat up on Charlotte. Like these are things that they've got to figure out like right now because you're not going to have a bunch of days off from here on out. You've got to take advantage of like almost practice time when you get it. And that's, again, if you look at the way they handled their business against Charlotte, that's what we saw. We saw a team that figured out how to like put the hammer down on somebody and run. And that's, again, what the Jazz, they're a team that is not looking to win at all.
Yeah, and that shows up on the injury report. The injury report, not brought to you by anybody right now, but the Kings, Keon Ellis is still questionable.
Questionable with the right ankle sprain.
Yeah, that he suffered in their last game. The Jazz, here's who's not playing. Well, Walker Kessler is questionable.
He is going to play now. We know that. Andy Larson just tweeted out that he is going to play tonight.
All right, well, that changes everything.
Okay.
John Collins.
Yep.
Out. Lauri Markkanen. Out. Colin Sexton. Out. And then Taylor Hendricks, of course. Busted up his leg. He's been out.
He's done for the year.
So that's what, three of the Jazz, four best players all out?
It certainly is like their, all of their scoring. It's their top three scorers. John Collins, well, I mean, it goes Markkanen at 19.3, John Collins at 18.4, Colin Sexton 18.3 points per game. Keyonte George is going to play.
Good player.
And he's developing very quickly. And so that's good. He's at 16.9 points per game. You got Jordan Clarkson, who...
Is he going to play?
He can still bust you up. Yeah, he's averaging 17 points a game. Jordan Clarkson is one of those dudes who will score forever.
Yep. He can play until he's 50.
Yep.
He's going to get buckets. Just the new Jamal Crawford. Yeah, man, look, you say that the Jazz are trying to not win, and I think the organizationally that's true.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's why you see the injury report look the way it does. On the other hand, the guys who are playing are going to try and win. And that's why, you know, this is a game where you say you hope you treat it like a practice. Well, you can't quite do that. You have to go try and win the damn game.
Oh, no, no. First and foremost, you got to win the game. But
yes.
But I also think that the resistance that you're going to get from this team is not going to be great.
Yeah, I don't I don't know if it's quite Charlotte-ish, but I think it's going to be similar. Because I just think the Jazz have overall better players than Charlotte does, even with all the guys they have out. But in this spot, I think you could treat it like a practice once you're up 20. But you need to go in and you need to do whatever you have to do to reach that point first. Because the win against Charlotte was great, but I'm not at the point yet where I'm just fully on board. Like, oh yeah, the Kings are going to go in and take care of business. I don't know that.
Oh no, I'm with you.
I don't know that they're not going to go in and be in a dogfight in the fourth quarter here.
I think we don't have the trust in this team yet.
Correct.
That they're going to go in there.
I have no reason to. I have 52 games. No, more than that.
Yeah,
55 games.
I will say this though: they are 16-2 under Doug Christie. I mean, 16-10 under Doug Christie.
Mm-hmm.
They have shown an ability to take care of business, except for the game right before the All-Star break with New Orleans. They did not play well at all against Golden State, but I think overall the vibe of this team is trending upwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. Like like we've talked about their talent, they have talent. It's just whether or not they have enough time to piece all of it together, build continuity, build chemistry and sort of get enough time in the pot to simmer. And I just don't know that they have that time, especially with the way their schedule lays out.
Imagining it's going to be the usual suspects in the starting five for the Kings: Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis. You want to take a crack at the Jazz starting lineup?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
We got Isaiah Collier.
Good player. I like Isaiah Collier.
Yep. Johnny Juzang started last time. Bryce Sensabaugh.
Utah likes him.
And then they have KJ Martin and Kyle Filipowski, who are basically one of those guys I think will start alongside Walker Kessler. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Filipowski starts, but I think KJ Martin plays plenty. They also, they're coming off the bench with a lot of firepower,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be an issue that the Kings have to deal with. You know, if we look at this lineup,
especially if Keon's out.
Yeah. So, and I would say, like, look, if you're going to sit Key on a game,
mm-hmm.
it would probably be this game with more difficult matchups coming up. But Keyonte George averages 16.7 and 16.9, and Jordan Clarkson is 17. And they're both coming off the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the Kings don't have, 34 points a game coming off the bench.
Can I accept? Well, two things. One, KJ Martin is a player he's 24 years old. He has done nothing in the NBA to warrant how high I am on him.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, he's forever. As long as KJ Martin is in the league, I'm going to be like, hey man, team should go get KJ Martin.
Yeah.
I like KJ Martin. He'll be 30 averaging 6 points a game for his career. And I'm going to be like, hey, I think there's something there.
Still a ball player. You know what, though? There are players out there that like KJ Martin, like Jake LaRavia, that can go out on the court and have a huge impact on a game without mm-hmm. actually, scoring a bunch of points and doing things that, like, show up on the box score.
Yeah. Averaged 13, 5.5, and 1.5 for the Rockets in 22-23.
Okay.
Shout out to KJ Martin. Shot 31.5% from three. Look, man, if the Kings lose this game, I'm going to put a pin in that. We'll put a pin in that. Matchup of the game, real quick.
I have the Kings versus the Tank.
Sure. Why not?
Because playing a team that you, like, half the players are just not playing, it isn't always easy. Because mm-hmm. you're like, oh, man, we know how to gear up for John Collins. We know how to gear up for Lauri Markkanen. Mm-hmm. Colin Sexton, we know what he brings.
Mm-hmm.
When all those guys are gone and you're playing against the Tank, like, it's very different. Like, what exactly do I expect from Bryce Sensabaugh tonight? And that's what you're, as a team, you've got to walk in, like, expecting the unexpected.
Yep. Can't throw your jersey on the court and necessarily expect to win. We'll have keys to the game coming up in a bit. I'm Kyle. He's James. Should be another proverbial layup for tonight for the Kings. At least you hope. We'll have your keys to victory coming up in a bit here on ESPN 1320. That is Sacramento Sports Leader.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.